You know, when God touches our life, He touches our life for a reason. And that touch on our life is what we call a calling. It is a touch from the Master's hand. You and I are individuals that are prone to doing life our way. We're prone to doing just about anything in life our way, because we know that our way is the only way when it comes to doing it the way we want. And yet that goes completely against Scripture. You and I had God's hand upon us for a purpose. As I focus on our commitment in 2014, you and I have to remember that a commitment to Jesus Christ is a commitment to do it His way. It is a commitment to rightly divide His word, not what we think about His word. You and I need what I know of called truth in advertising. I had an incident this week. About every week I'll have some kind of an incident. Normally it's with criminals. But this week was going through a drive-in restaurant to pick up a couple of sandwiches. And the problem with ever doing that is don't look at the posters outside as to what the sandwich is going to look like. That is beautiful. I mean, that sandwich right there, I can taste it already. Because look how beautiful it is. The second mistake I made after I ordered it was to drive up to the window and sit there watching those in the restaurant part making the sandwiches. Now, I grew up in food service. So I knew one thing I was never allowed to do. I couldn't, when I mopped the floor, that's how I grew up mopping the floor. When I would mop the floor at the Knox Burger over at Fort Knox 1,000 years ago, I could not allow one strand of the mop to be caught under a leg without bending over or picking it up. You never left it there, or I would hear my mother said, "I'm going to get gigged on that one." So I soon learned what getting gigged meant. But here I am, I'm watching these kids fix somebody else's meal. And I see the rubber gloves on their hand. And you know, you look at that and you think, now see, that's sanitary. Have you ever watched what they touch before they touch your food with those rubber gloves that are nasty? And I saw this kid throw some lettuce in the trash can and then push it down, and then reach over and get spaghetti and go, you know, throw it around. Well, it was entertaining. But I'm still thinking about what the picture looked like of the sandwich I'm going to get. Now, here's a no-no for you folks. And I know this as much or more than anybody in here does. Never, ever confront someone in food service, especially kids, about what they're doing wrong before you get your food. Don't do that. Very foolish. And I messed up. I said, you know what it really looks like you all need is a good visit from the health department. Should never have said it. Anyway, after the sandwiches were made and given to me, I get home with them. And I realize, Vance, that was the dumbest thing you've ever done. There was one slice of a half green tomato and lettuce that I knew I saw put in a garbage can. It was brown and nasty and all of this. And then looked like grease poured all over the top of the sandwich. Well, me being a calm personality, I go back and talk to the manager. But you know what it really brought to my mind on looking at that? She said, I'll give you your money back. I'll give you the sandwiches. I lost my appetite, folks, and I didn't care about the money. But what really got me to thinking was this. It's truth in advertising. That's a guideline or a law to where the company will, you know, they cannot advertise a lie. Only politicians can do that. They cannot advertise a lie. It has to be the truth or they can pay a fine. You and I don't get the part of the fine when they pay it. It goes to the government. But it's truth in advertising. And all you have to do when you go out to lunch today, I want you to pay attention. No, don't pay attention. Just go ahead and eat it and shut up. It'll be better for you. But look at the picture and then talk to yourself or the loved one with you and say, does this look like the picture? You and I are not going to take it back because it may look right when you get it back, but there'll be something wrong with it that you don't know about. Don't ever do that. What about Christians? Truth in advertising. What's a sandwich look like? What does anything else that we listen to or watch that is advertised, what's the truth about it? When you and I advertise we are Christians, then do we display to the world our Christian personality, the part of Christ? Well, your pastor doesn't when he's upset with a sandwich. Jesus would not have done it that way, I'm sure people would have said. And I would have said Jesus didn't get the sandwich. Think of it. Jesus did that. Did he not go into the temple and make a whip because it wasn't right? They were advertising that this was the house of God. And yet when Jesus walked in the house of God, that the advertisement as advertised is not what the product was, looked like, felt like. It was not of God, Jesus said. Now you and I, as Christians, committing through 2014 at Vine Grove Baptist Church to see how we commit our heart to Christ in every aspect of what a Christian is supposed to do. Do we present ourselves one way and yet go out into the world and live another? When we say we have Christ in our heart, does the world see Christ? Or see us, truth in advertising. Why don't a lot more people invite people to come to church? You might understand it this way. After you've been around some of your friends long enough, you're too embarrassed to invite them to come to church because you were too busy acting just like they act, and they would see no difference. Truth in advertising. God says, this is what I want you to do. You have been dealt in life the hand and by the hand of God, your true being of who you are. Now, I listen to people a lot of times say, you know, I wished I was somebody else. I wished I'd been born in another generation. That's just because you're too ornery to deal with reality in this generation. Because you want to say, well, the reason I don't, I'm just born 100 years too late or 100 years too early. Would that not mean that God made a mistake? And God didn't make a mistake, and he hasn't made a mistake with any one of us. All he's telling us to do, I want a little truth in advertising. You're going to go out and you're going to say you're a Christian, and then you raise all the hell that everybody else around you is raising? How about lifting Christ up when we walk? How about lifting Christ up as we talk? How about if we're going to advertise being a Christian, we be Christ-like, which does not mean that you don't take a stand. It means that you do take a stand. You take a stand for Christ, and that which is wrong, you stand in the name of Christ and say, thus saith the Lord thy God, this is wrong. But people, listen to me. When everyone said, well, you need to be out there and you need to really be nailing the world. The world is not where I'm having trouble. It's the church. Church is where the trouble is, not in the world. The people of the world don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Therefore, they cannot represent Christ, nor do you believe that they do, because you know they're lost. And yet we try to tell them how they ought to act. How about a little truth in advertising? How about us realizing the only way they're going to know how to act like a Christian is for them to truly see one and stand strong in that Christian faith? And don't stand in judgment. Stand in love. Stand, though, for what the truth is. Jesus is advertised by us as the God of grace. Give grace. The God of love. Show love. The God of compassion. Have compassion with the world that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You and I had the hand of God on our heart to touch a world. We come and unite together as a body of believers. One, each individual Christian uniting together as master links, hooking into the chain of God and looking for new links in life to hook up with. God says, I want you to take what I've given you, the hand you've been dealt, however we understand it. And I want you to understand, you can win with who you are because I made you. I created you. Too many people will look at the handicap of their life from birth and use it as an excuse not to serve God or glorify God. Others will look at different parts of breakdowns within their life and use them as excuses. God never told me that I could not serve him because I got cancer, because I'm poisoned with Agent Orange. God did not tell me that when this happens, you quit preaching. Evidently, he told me to preach louder. But the thing is, my friends, don't use the defects of life, the physical human problems that we deal with, as a reason not to serve God. It's not a reason. It's only an excuse. And an excuse is not the truth. It's just an excuse. So God says, I'm going to give you this hand in life. Here's the truth. Now, the world knows, and those who know me know, that I'm a human being with all the problems of life that anybody else has. And I cannot stand and say, okay, follow me. But I can sure stand and tell you who you need to follow. His name is Jesus. He's the one that's talking to your heart. He's the one that's the true and real truth in advertising. As Gandhi said, give me your Christ, you keep your Christians. Is that not the world in which we live today? Psalm 139, verse 14. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Now, you'll never get an argument out of that statement if you make it to anybody. You tell your husband, I'm complex. Your husband knows it. You tell your wife, you know, I'm just too complex. And she says, good. Complex people need to get out and shovel snow. Whatever. Think of it. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. There's more about us than meets the eye. And it is the more than meets the eye that you and I are by our actions commanded by God to show to the world and to one another. If I say I have the love of Christ in me and do not love, where's the truth? If I say I believe in the word of God and do not preach it, where's the truth? If I say I am more than willing to die for Christ and refuse to do so, where's the proof? And even more than that, if I say I'm willing to live for Christ and don't, where's the truth? So you and I need to pay attention to who we are and our relationship with the world around us. Ecclesiastes 7:18. This is from the Message. A person who fears God deals responsibly with all of reality, not just a piece of it. Do you ever just try to piecemeal your life? Well, you know, I just got to put it together a little bit at a time. Well, by the time that you get to the main parts, the other parts have fallen apart again. You see, you don't have the time to do it. Because you were created in the image of God by God. God knows who you are. He knows what we say makes us tick. He knows his calling for us. And he's the one that you and I need to go to and make sure it is his influence in our life that's going to make the difference to everybody else's life. Taking the real Christ to the real world. In the real world, Christians, we're going to mess up. In the real world, Christians, we're already a mess. In the real world, every Christian's going to deal with the hurts and pains of life just like anybody else ever has, starting in the Garden of Eden. God says, I want you to deal with reality. I just want you to understand that I'm the creator of it for a purpose. Do you know the problems that you're dealing with now, God is using to test you as to how you're going to handle it? And the scripture lets us know the reason he's doing that. We have a job to do later on, folks. And that job, I remind you, is not sitting on a cloud, floating around, playing a harp. The scripture says that we will serve with the Lord. And it's his boot camp. And this boot camp is harder than any Marine Corps boot camp I've ever been through. The boot camp of life. Give me Paris Island anytime to deal with what is real. And Jesus is the one that says, I'll always give you the truth, Larry. And you'll always have trouble dealing with it because we want to do it all ourselves. We want to show the world how good we are, which is never a command in Scripture. We are to show the world and tell the world how great Jesus truly is and what he's done in our life. I want you to look at the five factors that influence our identity and the five winning choices of it. It is like a hand of poker, our life is. I told her to do that. That's what life is. So we need to deal with the life that God has given us. He's given it to us for a purpose. Identity factor influence number one, your physical chemistry. The winning choice with this is choose to get healthier. Now, let me use this properly for us. You've seen people that were from birth, and you went to school with them all the days you can remember, and these were the men had all the muscles, or the kids. They had muscles in school. They had muscles. They were just chemically base, they were almost perfect, and you saw the most beautiful girl in the world that ever walked into the third grade class. And you watch them as they grow, and you watch him grow, and he's still got his muscles and slim and trim and his muscles. And then you stand in front of a mirror and say, God, where did I go wrong? That's the human chemistry. Now, this is one thing that gets me. Have you ever noticed that the people who are born skinny and stay skinny always talk about us fat people as we get out of shape? Always use that. And yet they can eat anything they want and they don't gain an ounce and they say, you know, I just got it together. No, they don't. They just have a chemistry in their body that's different from the rest of us. Well, except for the crew that they hang around with. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 73. You made my body, Lord. Now give me sense to heed your laws. You see, the healthier part I want you to understand is in your Christian relationship with Christ. I can tell you all about all the health foods that you and I can be on physically. Peanut butter fudge and White Castles, one of them. I can tell you all of that, but what is God looking at? Does he not see what is coming from us? Are we not called by God to have a healthier Christian relationship with him? Do we not need to listen to him? Listen to Galatians 4:13. The Apostle Paul says, you remember, you guys, that it was because of an illness that I came to you the first time, preaching the good news. How many of us will use our defective bodies from no matter what it is, our cancers or Agent Orange or whatever it is, as an excuse we can't serve you, Lord? Oh, Lord, I'm sorry, but if I was healthy and if I look like that guy or I look like that woman, then I would stand up for you. If you will not stand up for Jesus Christ where you are in the condition you are in, you will not stand up for Jesus Christ no matter what condition you're in. If you will not lift the Lord up in your hurt, you will ignore the Lord in your wealth when you got it. The Lord says, I've given it to you. Take what I've given you and give it to the world. Paul said, I was sick. I came to you. And I used that sickness to preach the gospel. And it just so happens, that's exactly why Paul said, I came here. I got sick. What was he doing? Counting the blessings of being sick. How many times have you counted a blessing when you get the flu? Yeah. Or every time a cancer pops its head back up to you. Oh, thank you, Lord. I really needed that. Another surgery. Praise God. Thank you. Think of it. You and I have been given this life for a purpose. Sick or well. No matter what you would look like. It is who Christ looks like that you and I are to present to the world, not who we look like or what we think. Frankly, the world don't care what you think. Do you ever have people say, I don't care what you think about me? Then why are you confronting the person that's thinking about you that way? I always love it when people say that I don't like an individual. Oh, where did you meet them? I don't know. I've never met them. I just heard somebody talking about something they'd done I didn't like. Interesting world, isn't it? More interesting, you ought to hear them talking about Chaplain Vance one time years ago, about how horrible he was, and walking around to the booth and them acting like they knew who Chaplain Vance was, and nobody ever recognized me. But I found out a lot about myself that day that I didn't know about me. Do we not, when we get in the world, have a tendency more to look or think of the bad of people than the good? How long has it been since we've looked at the goodness of Christ in others, sick or well, no matter what they have? To stand strong in our Christian faith is to do what God has called us to do. He takes care of the rest of it. Not only that, he'll give you strength to stand for the truth and what is truly right. He will give you that strength. Winning choice number two, or the influence, was the right connections. Look at winning choice number two. Choose to deepen relationships. Start with Jesus, would you? Start with seeing a friend that's in pain and feeling pain with that friend. Stop and look at a person that you're not friends with. See the hurt and the brokenness in their life. Feel that hurt, feel that brokenness in their life, so that they too might see Jesus in us, Jesus in you. And then seeing Jesus, they too accept Christ. Might not have been friends with them here on earth before they went on, but in heaven I will be and have an eternal friend because I shared Christ with that individual. Here's your winning choice. Choose to deepen relationship. 1 Corinthians 14, first part of verse 1. Let love be your highest goal. Ephesians 3, 17. I pray that Christ will live in your hearts by faith and that your life will be strong in love and be built on love. Where love is, there is no fault. Where love is, there is no fault. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Think of it. Where his love is, there is no fault. Jesus looks at me and you as finished, complete. You and I look at one another as incomplete and a mess. Jesus sees the finished product, as does God, his Father. All the rest of it is just training and leading. 1 John 4, 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. I do not fear the world. I do not fear what the world can do to me, because I have the love of Christ within me. If I'm tortured, will I hurt? Yep. I'll scream too. If the world comes down on me and the other preachers who preach the gospel, will it break our hearts as we look at our families? Yes. But that's not my business. You and I are to be about God's business. He's quite capable of taking care of ours. Again, do you believe Paul said, "Thank you for making me sick, Lord"? But he said, it was because I was sick I came here and you heard the gospel. Whatever it is going on with you, take it as a blessing from God and use it as a blessing to others. Here's your identity factor influence number three. It's our personal circumstances. Now, let me tell you something. Everybody in here has witnessed personal circumstances in your life. You know why they're called personal circumstances? Because nobody else has those particular circumstances rather than you. Do you know that God will allow the circumstance to come within your life to see how you handle it? And you can't get answer from somebody else as to why, because nobody else can relate to it as you can. Only Jesus. Those personal circumstances. Here's your winning choice. Choose to trust God no matter what happens. That'll do it. Listen to Romans 8, 27 through 29. God knows us far better than we know ourselves. Let me tell you, I can bear truth to that, because during the counseling years, when I was doing so much counseling with people, I found out that people had no idea about themselves. No idea, no concept. And they always blamed what was going on in their heart blamed it on everybody else. God knows us far better than we know ourselves. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. That's why we are in Christ. Christ is in us. You see, the truth is that we see that truth of God in us. Psalm 34:1, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. Is that easy? Isn't it? Different way of praising the Lord. Every one of us have a special way of praising the Lord. But we do that praise with the person God has dealt us to be. I will praise the Lord in his word as I proclaim his truth. I cannot sing it until God decides to say, Larry, I'm going to have you sing this sermon. And about the time that I will stand to begin singing that sermon, my wife and the others who know me will be leaving by each doorway. What would be the proof that I could sing that sermon? Think of it. Each individual having a special touch by the Master at any given time to do what he has called us to do. Here's your identity factor influence number 4. It's your consciousness. Here's your winning choice. We can choose what we think about. Can you not? Remember, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from building a nest in your hair. So those thoughts you can control. Choose what we think about. Romans 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. What do we have the greatest problem with in the churches today? The customs and the behavior of this world. Well, where'd they come from? From the Christians who came from the world into the body of Christ. Because we think, as the first century church did, look, I used to be an idolater, so this worked for me as an idolater. Let's bring a little part of that into God's house so it will help the Lord. You can't help the Lord. The Lord helps us. And despite what people say, it is not scriptural when you say the Lord who helps those who help themselves. That is not scripture. Scripture is the Lord who helps those who can't help themselves. That's the real word. But it's not as catchy. Look at Romans 12:2 again. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. What's our problem? That's exactly right. And I wasn't even given a test on that one. We're not letting God. That's right. We don't let God be God within our life. Here's your last one. Identity factor influence number 5 are your choices. Winning choice number 5. We can choose Jesus as our Savior. As a prison chaplain for all those years, and these years I still seem to be, the majority of all the criminal element I've ever had in jail are there because somebody else made them be there, not because they did it themselves. Always with the wrong group. Always, well, you know, I got caught up in the wrong crowd. I got caught up in the wrong this, the wrong that, never saying I am the wrong in so many lives. Father, I give to you me with all my faults and all my failures, all the brokenness that I can muster. God cries out to you and He cries to me. And He says, give me you. I want you. You're the one for whom I did bleed. I touched your heart and gave you life. I made you different. But there will be strife. Strife in your life as you grow up. Strife that goes deeper than any part of the heart that you can corrupt. Listen to me, says Jesus, and listen with your might. For I am the God. I'm the God that's right. The world will give you nothing, and you'll receive nothing in return. But I will give you life. I protect you. You'll never burn. You'll not see destruction because of me, because I am the love for eternity. I'm the love that looks to you and sees you as an individual. I'm the one that'll lift you up and hold you. I'm the one who will always be ready and willing to count you as a child that I wanted you to be, because you see, through your life I see me. When I see myself in your reflection, is that not the peace that you've asked for before your inception? Are you not the one God has called? Are you not the block in His wall, the cornerstone I sent to man? But when I did, man wouldn't understand the truth that I want to give goes deeper than tongue. The truth that I give, I gave through my Son. He gave to you all you would ever need. And if that wasn't enough, I watched Him bleed for the sins you committed, for the hurt, for the pain, for all the world you could find no gain. Your wealth didn't do it. Your lands did not matter. And when the world stands before me, their teeth, they will chatter. Because I am the power sent from up above. I entered your heart as my spirit of love. Don't worry about the world. I've already conquered. Look at your life. Look at me. For I am your God, your great comforter. I will soothe your heart and soothe your mind. I'll heal your body, but in my time. I am your God. I am your Lord. I am the reason you were born for. Take my word, take my truth, take my love, take my power. For it won't be long before that hour. I am coming again, but I'm coming for my kin. My family I'll receive. The others will grieve. You need not worry. You need not pout. For the word of God will be heard with a shout. The trumpets will blare. The angels will sing. All the world will hear my name. I am the Son, the only one. I'm the truth from God, His very own Son. As the Lord touches who we are, He touches the depth farther away than a star. He'll take that hurt, He'll take that pain, and He will make it well in Jesus' name. He's given us all there is to give. Is it not our turn to follow His will for our life? It's a gift from God. Not much longer will His servants on earth trod, for He is coming. But when He comes, will He see His church by name presenting His Son? Where is the face of the most beloved, the Son of God, sent from up above? He's given Himself for you and me. Can you and I not see in history the truth of who always wins? Is it not God to whom you are kin? I said yes to Jesus. I needed no more. Now I will live in eternal joy. But it's not over yet. The battle's not through. And I tell you, folks, He didn't just call me. He also called you. Let's pray. Brother Randy, lead us in prayer.
Father, we thank You for the Word. We thank You, Father, that You're so gracious to us. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, as You touch us now, that we make decisions for You, Lord. Lord, we'll make a decision one way or the other. But I pray, Father, in each heart that's here today, that they say yes to You and they truly follow. We repent of our sin, Father, and that we look to You as our Savior and make You Lord of our lives. These things I ask and pray in Jesus' name.